Welcome back to Oklahoma Voices. Party affiliations were put aside on this day. Speakers at the ceremony included from the Congress, John Boehner and Nancy Pelosi, and from the Senate, Mitch McConnell and Harry Reid, as well as Oklahoma Senator Jim Inhofe and Representative Tom Cole. We now bring you from last November a recording of the Congressional Gold Medal Presentation Ceremony to the 33 tribes of the Native American Code Talkers.
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome our honored guests, Vice Chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, members of the United States House of Representatives, members of the United States Senate, ladies and gentlemen, the Speaker of the United States House of Representatives, the Honorable John Boehner.
Well, good morning, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the United States Capitol. We are honored to be joined by so many of the people who made this day possible, including one of the original champions of this legislation, my friend and former colleague, Dan Boren from Oklahoma. And we're fortunate to have in Congress two outstanding leadership of two Native Americans, Tom Cole and Mark Wayne Mullen. Today we meet to immortalize men who were, in a way, a meeting for the first time, like Edmund Harjo, a member of the Seminole Nation, and during the Second World War, a member of the 195th Field Artillery Battalion. One day in 1944, he was walking through an orchard in southern France and heard one of his brethren singing under a tree. He recognized the dialect as Creek. Later on, a captain heard the two talking and immediately put them to work on opposite ends of a radio. That coincidence brought these men onto the stage of history and alongside that elite band that we call Code Talkers. Edmund is with us today, and I asked all of you to join me and welcoming him here and thanking him for his service. Edmund and his brothers were at Normandy. They were on Iwo Jima. They mobilized the simplest weapon, language, to thwart the fiercest enemy the free people have ever known. And they made a difference. And after serving with honor, they did the honorable thing. They kept their service a secret, even to those that they loved. So these wives and daughters and sons, aching to give back to those who gave up so much for them, dedicated much of their own lives to unfurling the truth. Not for gain or glory, but just so people would know. It's the story that's important, one of them said. And many of these families are with us today and join me in applauding their perseverance. Because of them, the deeds that may have well been relegated to legend will now live on in memory. And heroes who for too long went unrecognized will now be given our highest recognition. Since the days of the Revolution, it's been the custom of this Congress to award gold medals in honor of great acts and great contributions. The first recipient was a general by the name of George Washington in 1776. Many names were put forward, but few received the approval of both houses and a signature of the President of the United States. Today, pursuant to H.R. 4544, we will recognize 33 tribes for dedication, for valor, and for sharing what may be the toughest code, what it takes to be the bravest of the brave. They say every medal tells a story, But by adding these men to such lofty ranks, we also mean to add their story. One worth honoring today, one worth retelling every day. And thank you all for being here.
Ladies and gentlemen, please stand for the presentation of the colors by the United States Armed Forces Color Guard, the singing of our national anthem by the United States Army Band and Chorus, and the retiring of the colors.
Listening to a recording of the Congressional Gold Medal Ceremony that took place last November in Washington, D.C. to honor the Native American Code Talkers of World Wars I and II. You're listening to Oklahoma Voices on KGOU.
Please remain standing as the Chaplain of the United States Senate, Dr. Barry Black, gives the invocation.
Let us pray. O God, our refuge and fortress, we put our trust in you. Thank you for this Congressional Gold Medal Ceremony that provides long overdue recognition to Native American code talkers of the First and Second World War. We praise you that you empowered these wind talkers from many Native American tribes to creatively use their native tongue to save the lives of countless thousands who would have perished on distant battlefields. Lord, while sacrificing on foreign soil for freedoms they and their families were often denied at home, they were heroes proved in liberating strife, who more than self their country loved, and mercy more than life. As we celebrate their patriotism, skill, creativity, speed, and accuracy that made victory in combat possible in spite of daunting odds. Challenge us, O God, to invest our lives in causes worthy of our last full measure of devotion. We pray in your great name. Amen.
Please be seated. Ladies and gentlemen, United States Representative from the 4th District of Oklahoma, the Honorable Tom Cole.
As a Native American and as the grandson of a career naval officer, the son of a career United States Air Force non-commissioned officer, and the nephew and namesake of a Chickasaw uncle who fought on Bataan and served honorably in Japanese prison camps in the Philippines and the main islands of Japan, it's an enormous honor for me to get to share this moment with each and every one of you. You know, in the long history of American arms, no one has fought against, in alliance with, and for the United States of America like Native Americans. And that's true to this day. Native Americans still enlist at a higher level than any other race or ethnicity in this blessed land. And they do so proudly and with a determination to defend it. Most famous, please. Among the most famous of those warriors, of course, are the Navajo code talkers of World War II. But in all, 33 different tribes contributed code talkers, 10 of those from my home state of Oklahoma, 3 from my district, Choctaw, Comanche, and Kiowa. And they saved lives, and they won battles. And they did so by giving the United States a unique battlefield advantage, secure communication. All the first code talkers were, of course, Americans. But many of them in the First World War were not American citizens. That didn't come from any tribes until 1924. And the code talkers of World War II, like African Americans and Japanese Americans, often were barred from full participation in American life. But they still served with pride, with patriotism, with honor, and with sacrifice. I'm proud that Congress is recognizing that unique service. I appreciate my friend Dan Bourne's wonderful role in that. And by honoring these code talkers, we honor all Native American warriors, past, present, and future. Good luck. God bless.
Ladies and gentlemen, United States Representative from the 3rd District of Wisconsin, the Honorable Ron Kind.
Good morning, Admiral Winfield, Speaker Boehner, Madam Leader, Senators Reed and McConnell, my colleagues, distinguished guests, the 33 tribes who are the recipients of the Congressional Gold Medal today, but most especially to our Native American veterans and our code talkers, Edmund, those who were able to make the trip and those who were unfortunately still at home, we welcome you. We owe you a debt of gratitude that could never be repaid. And on behalf of a grateful nation, we thank you for your service, and for your sacrifice. You know, just a couple of weeks ago in this Capitol, we dedicated the bust of Prime Minister Winston Churchill. And during the Second World War, Prime Minister Churchill was fond of saying that at time of war, the truth is so precious that it must always be surrounded by a bodyguard of lies. But in the case of our code talkers, that wasn't necessary. You spoke the truth, but in the words of your native language, and it worked perfectly. It wasn't deciphered. It wasn't decoded. You did it with an extreme degree of accuracy and speed. And as Edmund probably knows already, in the first 48 hours of the Battle of Iwo Jima, over 800 battlefield communications were given by the code talkers with 100% accuracy rate, typically in less than 30 seconds per communication, when it would take a typical machine at the time close to a half an hour to decode messages. It was a remarkable accomplishment that led to a quicker end to that conflict and saved many lives on both sides. They returned home heroes, but without a hero's welcome. The code was so effective that our military kept it classified and secret until 1968. And even then, it took many more years before the recognition started to take place of what our Native American veterans and our code talkers in particular did during that time. It is a remarkable legacy that they share and a remarkable story that needs to be preserved. That's why I'm here to make one last request from a grateful nation. To our Native American veterans in attendance and throughout our country today, and to our code talkers here and at home, we ask you to share your stories and make it a part of the Veterans History Project. It was legislation that I helped advance with the help of many of my colleagues many years ago with the intent to try to preserve an important part of American history, our veterans' stories, and what it was like for them to serve our nation, so future generations will never forget the service and the sacrifice that came before them. Today, the Veterans History Project is housed at the Library of Congress. We've collected close to 90,000 veteran stories from across the nation during this time. They say it's the world's largest oral history collection, but many more stories are yet to be told. Edmund, I hope we're going to be able to follow up with you and see if you'd be willing to share your story of what it was like serving our nation. And Colonel Bob Patrick, who heads up the Veterans History Project at the Library, and I will follow up in the days to come with our Native American veterans and our tribes here in attendance to see if we can get more to participate and share these vital stories. I hope many of you will consider doing so. So again, on behalf of a grateful nation, we thank you for your service. May God bless you and your families. May God bless all of our veterans and soldiers, wherever they may be serving us throughout the globe today. And may God continue to bless these United States of America. Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, United States Senator from the state of South Dakota, the Honorable Tim Johnson.
Good morning and welcome. It is an honor to be here today as we celebrate the military service of the Native American Code Talkers. I have worked for over a decade to honor the Code Talkers with the Congressional Gold Medal. It is gratifying that this day is finally here. The real work, though, began 95 years ago when Native Americans from South Dakota and across the country left their homes and joined the military effort in World War I. This came at a time when many Native Americans were not yet American citizens, but fought valiantly for our shared homeland. Native code talkers were also used extensively in the European and Pacific theaters during World War II. The use of native languages was a fundamental tactic that saved untold number of lives and helped win both wars. Over the years, I've had the opportunity to visit with several of the code talkers and learn their personal stories. I always left those meetings inspired by their dedication to our nation. These men did not seek the limelight, and in fact, their tremendous impact to our military was kept from the public for half a century. There is no question their contributions were unparalleled and have had a lasting impact on history. Most of the Native code talkers have passed away, but we will never forget their heroic actions and are forever grateful for their military service. Today, we celebrate their lives and contributions to our country. we celebrate with their families and friends who are with us today. Congratulations to all of you. Wopila.
Ladies and gentlemen, United States Senator from the state of Oklahoma, the Honorable James Inhofe.
We heard first from Congressman Tom Cole, who is our Native American on our congressional delegation. I recall hearing from him some time ago before he was even in Congress. At that time, I was in the House. In introducing us to this best-kept secret of World War II and World War I, the Code Talkers. I look around and I see a lot of people like Senator Thune, Senator Barrasso, and others who are very active other than those who are on the program today. But on the program today, we have made mention of Dan Bourne. I think he's here, and I believe Wes Watkins was one of the initial individuals who reminded us of this best-kept secret. And so it was for decades after World War II that people didn't really know anything about the contributions. And we started introducing resolutions, House resolutions, and it wasn't until 2008 that we were successful. I want to mention that the speaker talked about Edmund Harjo. He's of the Seminole Nation, one of our fellow Oklahomans. I think we've been fortunate, those of us in Oklahoma, there are quite a few of us involved in this meeting, what's going on today. One of the reasons is that Oklahoma has the largest population of Native Americans, second only to California, and they cheat because they have more people. But nonetheless, this became very evident to us as to the contributions that were made. In his opening prayer, Reverend Black talked about the multitudes of people, the lives that were saved. We can't quantify that, but we know they're out there. Because of the very secretive nature of the Code Talkers' contribution, you can't really say how many, but we know many, many, many lives were saved by these American heroes. So we pay tribute to you today. We love you. We'll always respect you and remember you.
Ladies and gentlemen, the United States Army Band and Chorus. Ladies and gentlemen, the Democratic leader of the United States House of Representatives, the Honorable Nancy Pelosi.
Maru Awe, good morning. It's an honor to be here with our speaker, with the leader, Leader Reid, Leader McConnell, to be here with our Native American brother, Congressman Cole, with Ron Kind, please sign up for the Veterans Program, with our distinguished Senator Johnson, and with Senator Inouye, and Senator Inhofe, and Senator Inhofe, we in California take great pride in having the largest number of Native American. In 1941, and of course with the Admiral, whom we will hear from later, in 1941, a young member of the Comanche tribe, Charles Chabity, joined the U.S. Army. One of 17 members of his tribe, he was recruited to speak their language in service to our country in World War II. Even in a nation that has long denied him his basic rights, that long refused his people citizenship, that long neglected the challenges facing Native Americans, Charles volunteered. Like many of his generations, like his fellow co-talkers and service members, he signed up to protect and defend our communities and our shared homeland. That is the oath of office that we all take, to protect and defend. And the co-takers honored that pledge and helped us honor ours, all Americans, to do so. As he stated years later, what we did, we saved lives using the Native American language. As soldiers and Marines with code no enemy could decipher, the code talkers saved lives. Yes, indeed, Charles, you did. On the beaches of Normandy and the shores of Guadalcanal and at Iwo Jima. They saved lives in the invasion of D-Day, the battles of the European theater, and fighting across the South Pacific. They kept their code secret and safe, as the speaker mentioned. They served with undaunted bravery, part of a band of brothers that defeated tyranny, set a continent free, and restored the hope of democracy across the globe. The code talkers, using their language, carried forward the hopes of their people committed to the cause of freedom. Their sense of duty was never shaken, nor was their resolve. Their patriotism never wavered, nor did their courage. Their bonds of brotherhood were never broken, nor was their code. For their heroism and sacrifice, for the contributions that went unrecognized for too long, it is a privilege for Congress to bestow the Native American Code Talkers the highest honor we can bestow, the Congressional Gold Medal. And by your accepting it, you bring luster to this award. May these medals long endure as a sign of respect, admiration, and unending gratitude for our Native American tribes and the sons they sent to battle. We all know that God truly blessed America with our code talkers. Thank you and congratulations.
You're listening to Oklahoma Voices on KGOU.
Ladies and gentlemen, the Republican leader of the United States Senate, the Honorable Mitch McConnell.
It's an honor to join my colleagues today in recognizing the service of the Native American Code Talkers. A little more than a decade ago, Congress and President Bush honored the Navajo Code Talkers for their tremendous contributions during World War II. Today, we honor the rest of the Code Talkers, whose extraordinary skill and heroism will be remembered as long as the history of modern warfare is told. Rarely has a group of men been so crucial to a nation's military success, yet so little known for so long as the Native American Code Talkers. These heroes, some as young as 15, answered the call when the country needed them. and they performed their tasks with extraordinary courage and grace. Often working behind enemy lines, these men sent messages that once took hours to transmit in a matter of minutes or even seconds, all in a code that they weren't even allowed to put on paper for fear it would be discovered by the enemy. And then when they came home, they couldn't even talk about their achievements. They had to keep them secret so no one would know about this new weapon of war. So we are deeply grateful for their service. Hopefully, in the years to come, the deeds of these good men will be more widely known, and all Americans will know the inspiring story of these Native Americans who saved so many lives, devising and deploying a code so effective that our enemies never broke it. It is a privilege to honor these men today and to thank them for their courage and their sacrifice. The honor is long past due, but it is no less heartfelt. Gentlemen, America is grateful for your service, and we're determined to honor the memory of your heroic deeds. Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, the Majority Leader of the United States Senate, the Honorable Harry Reid.
According to firsthand accounts from the Pilgrims when they arrived in this continent, Native Americans didn't farm the land, so it wasn't truly their land. According to the pioneers who pushed past the Mississippi, Native Americans were not civilized, so they didn't truly own the land. According to the prospectors who rushed for the hills of Nevada, California, and even Alaska, Native Americans didn't speak English, so they didn't truly own the land. Strangers had forced the native peoples from their lands, slaughtered their game, stifled their religions, outlawed their ceremonies, and ravaged their communities. Next, the newcomers even tried to steal their languages. In the late 1800s, the United States government forced Native American children to attend English-only boarding schools. Native children were torn from their families, taken far from home in boxcars and buggies, given English names, and forced to cut their hair short. Teachers beat the children with leather straps when they spoke the native languages. The government told them their language had no value, but the children held on to their languages, culture, and history, despite great personal risk. And in this nation's hour of greatest need, these same Native American languages proved to have great value indeed. In the early years of World War II, Japanese codebreakers had cracked every American cipher, every one of them. American military commanders needed a code so obscure, a language so unknown, that even their own decoders couldn't break it. The perfect secret weapon would be languages all but forgotten outside of a few isolated communities. The United States government ingeniously turned to people and languages they tried to eradicate. But why would Native Americans, who had been robbed of their land and their culture, agree to use their precious languages to protect a country that either neglected or abused them for centuries? Here's why. One Native American code talker, a young Navajo man by the name of Chester Nez, put it this way, quote, "Somebody's got to defend this country. Somebody has to defend freedom." No matter how many times the United States government had tried to convince them otherwise, Corporal Nez knew in his heart that the United States of America was his land. This young corporal was just a boy, a high school student, when he enlisted. Native Americans, like Corporal Nez, were so eager to serve that many lied about their age to enlist. These brave soldiers, these code talkers, had a special gift, their sacred languages, and they selflessly shared that gift with our country, their country. Their gift saved countless lives and helped win the war, and their willingness to share it made them American heroes. We honor our American heroes today.
Ladies and gentlemen, the Speaker of the United States House of Representatives, the Honorable John Boehner.
Thank you. I want to thank my colleagues for their testimonials and, of course, thank all of those who made today's ceremony possible. We're now going to present the medals that you've been admiring. I would ask that you would all hold your applause until the end, at which point we can give all of our honorees their proper due.
Ladies and gentlemen, the Central Council of Tlingit and Haida Indian Tribes of Alaska, Cherokee Nation, Cheyenne and Arapaho Tribes, Cheyenne River Sioux Tribe, Choctaw Nation of Oklahoma, Comanche Nation, Crow Creek Sioux Tribe, Crow Nation, Fond du Lac Band of Lake Superior Chippewa, Fort Peck Assiniboine and Sioux Tribes of Montana, Ho-Chunk Nation of Wisconsin, Hopi Tribe, Kiowa Tribe of Oklahoma, Laguna Pueblo Tribe, Lower Brule Sioux Tribe, Menominee Indian Tribe, Mohawk Tribe, Muscogee Creek Nation, Oglala Sioux Tribe, Oneida Tribe of Indians of Wisconsin, Osage Nation, Pawnee Nation of Oklahoma, Ponca Tribe of Oklahoma, Pueblo of Acoma Tribe, Rosebud Sioux Tribe, Sac and Fox Tribe of the Mississippi and Iowa Meskwaki Nation, Santee Sioux Nation, Seminole Nation of Oklahoma, Sisseton Wahpeton Oyate, Standing Rock Sioux Tribe, Tonto Apache Tribe, White Mountain Apache Tribe, Yankton Sioux Tribe.
You could all remain standing, we'll have the benediction.
Ladies and gentlemen, the Vice Chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, Admiral James A. Sandy Winnefeld.
Ladies and gentlemen, please take your seats. And if our wonderful Native Americans who have received their medals would like to retire to your seats, I'm not going to make you stand while I talk. But I will say good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. And while you may be taking your seats again, allow me to say, Halito, Osiyo, Maruawe, Hao, and I beg your forgiveness if I did not encode my greetings properly into the native tongue of Choctaw, Cherokee, Comanche, or Hopi, and I beg your indulgence that I cannot produce greetings in all 33 of the wonderful groups that we have here today. Mr. Speaker, Leader Reed, Leader McConnell, Leader Pelosi, other distinguished leaders of the House and Senate, distinguished guests, and most importantly, today's honorees and your families. We are very, very proud of you, and I'm very proud to be included today. Here during Native American Heritage Month, I have the great privilege of representing the finest military, in the world and recognizing the hundreds of Native Americans who have worn the cloth of our nation in the distinctive way that we celebrate today, and in such a courageous way, defending a country that did not always keep its word to their ancestors. The 33 tribes and 216 individuals we recognize today represent Native warriors who leveraged their native tongues to defend our nation through an unbreakable code, patriots who possessed a unique capability and willingness to not only give of their special talents, but also their lives. As Richard West, founding director of the National Museum of the American Indian, so eloquently captured it, language is central to cultural identity. It is the code containing the subtleties and secrets of cultural life. As it turns out, the clever usage of our nation's original, unique, and very special languages, these cultural codes, was also an essential part of defending our great nation. We've all heard the story. Throughout history, military leaders have sought the perfect code, signals the enemy cannot break, no matter how able the intelligence team. And it was our code talkers who created voice codes that defied decoding. In an era of slow, by-hand battlefield encryption, it was such an elegant way to quickly provide secure communications. It was doubly clever in that not only was the language indecipherable, the special words used within the language were confusing as well, such as crazy white man for Adolf Hitler, or tortoise for tank, or pregnant fish for bomber. Our code talker's role in combat required intelligence, adaptability, grace under pressure, bravery, dignity, and quite honestly, the qualities that fit my youthful stereotype of the brave American Indian warrior. These men endured some of our nation's most dangerous battles and served proudly. The actions of those we celebrate today were critical during significant combat operations, such as Choctaws at the Meuse-Argonne, Comanches on Utah Beach on D-Day, Hopis in the Caroline Islands, Cherokees at the Second Battle of the Somme, to name but a few. These men were integral members of their teams, the 36th Infantry Division, the 4th Signals Company, the 81st Infantry Division, the 30th Infantry Division, and so many more. Learning Morse code and operating equipment to transmit messages quickly and accurately. In the words of Navy Admiral Aubrey Fitch, employment of these men has resulted in rapid and accurate transmission of messages which previously required hours. From the start, the service rendered by these men has received favorable comment, high praise in Navy language. These men not only contributed in battle, they fundamentally contributed to our military intelligence community's work in cryptology. Our very own National Security Agency Museum highlights the code talkers of World War I and World War II as pioneers of their specialty. So here, once again, we learn that one of the greatest strengths of our nation is its diversity. And your U.S. military, in particular, has always found great strength in this diversity. You may wonder why this is so. Well, when the chips are down and the bullets are flying and the only way out is to win, it doesn't take long to recognize, on the one hand, that one's heritage really doesn't matter so much anymore. And at the same time, if you can bring a little something special to the fight through your own diversity, well, so much the better. Your military has always led our way out of the cultural challenges that sometimes accompany diversity. In this life and death business, we're happy to leverage unique skill sets regardless of individual differences. And through our code talkers, once again, diversity matched innovation with victory. The heroes sitting among us are a testament to this. 33 diverse cultures, 33 diverse dialects, all fighting together for one unified nation. Native Americans have long sacrificed for our nation, well represented by 28 Army, Marine Corps, and Navy Medal of Honor recipients. The first American woman killed in Operation Iraqi Freedom was Lori Ann Pistewa, a member of the Hopi tribe. And many others have served nobly, proudly, and well in combat. While we've benefited as a nation from our Native American warriors' service and sacrifice, we can also learn from how they managed their journey from war to peace. Thanks to remarkable advances in battlefield and post-battlefield medical care, we have a great many warriors with wounds both seen and unseen who we will need to support for decades to come. The Smithsonian makes it a point to note that Native American cultures have special traditions to help their warriors return home. Native American communities remember their veterans' sacrifices forever. After the two world wars, most Native American code talkers returned to communities that were facing difficult economic times. Jobs were scarce, and so were opportunities for education and training. Some of the returning code talkers stayed in their communities doing whatever kind of work they could find. Others moved to cities where jobs were more plentiful. Many took advantage of the GI Bill to go to college or get vocational training. The code talkers accomplished many things during their post-war lives. Some became leaders in their communities, participated in tribal governments. Others became educators, artists, and professionals in a variety of fields. Many are and remain active in the cultural lives of their tribes, and some worked to preserve their languages. All remained recognized heroes within their tribes. The lesson for us today: these men and women who have served know about commitment and are ready to lead in communities across the nation. They're a national resource, a wellspring of intelligence, innovation, hard work, and resilience. They deserve our best. So as we gather here together in Emancipation Hall, in the long and benevolent shadow of freedom, I'm reminded by the bronze statue of Chief Washakie to my right that warriors become great not only because of their competence in battle, but also because of their efforts for peace and unity and a commitment to people when they return. We can best honor these great warriors among us, not just with well-deserved and long overdue recognition, but also within our own efforts to continuing to leverage our nation's diversity and to forever honor our veterans, including our Native American veterans. For their narrative is an essential piece of our narrative. Their journey is our journey. And as demonstrated by our code talkers, our nation's future is built on their contributions to our history. And so now back where I started, at least trying to speak a familiar language to our wonderful code talkers and their descendants. Yakoke, Wado, Ura, Kwakwa, all very special code for a very special message. Thank you. And thank you, ladies and gentlemen. May God continue to shower his blessings on our great nation. Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, please stand as the chaplain of the United States House of Representatives, the Reverend Patrick Conroy, gives the benediction.
Lim lim kulin sutin. Thank you, Creator, the maker of ways, for giving us this beautiful day to celebrate life. May the hands and hearts of this nation be raised in prayer and praise for the heroic servicemen and women native to this continent who, as proud members of the United States military, served our nation so valiantly in its numerous battles. Though few in number and lacking any ego desire to be named heroes for doing their duty, these code talkers from many nations are honored this day by a nation which rises to celebrate their important work in military intelligence. May the breath of God uphold their noble and heroic story. They have honorably carried on the great legacy of their ancestors, who understood that service to one's people is the highest calling. May their great example of service communicate to all generations and to all nations a message to inspire citizens everywhere to serve their communities. Bless all women and men in military service, no matter their racial, cultural, or religious heritage, and their families. God bless America and grant us peace both in the present and with you forever. Amen.
We hope you enjoyed this presentation of the Congressional Gold Medal Ceremony, recorded last November, that honored Native American Code Talkers of World War I and II. Present at the ceremony were members of Congress and the Senate, as well as surviving Code Talkers and the families of Code Talkers. The gold medals were presented to the tribes of the Code Talkers. Oklahoma tribes present were the Choctaw, Comanche, Kiowa, Ponca, Pawnee, and Osage. This has been Oklahoma Voices. To read a transcript or listen to the show again, go to our website, kgou.org.